Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Don't say.
Welcome in to the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Friday edition, 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Will Stevens.
We did it.
Getting you set for the weekend. Where's the weekend started?
It's basically the weekend.
I need a ruling. You're kind of waffling from the station account.
Feels like on a short week like this, Friday's the weekend.
Okay, it's been decided. It's the weekend.
Write it down.
It's going to be a beautiful weekend in Knoxville, too. Have you seen the weather? Oh.
It's getting a little cooler, isn't it?
Well,
not cold.
Mid to high 70s.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. You got a big fishing tournament ready?
Nope.
Rock and roll?
Nope.
No?
Laying low.
Okay. Not going to go practice or anything?
I probably will.
Okay.
It's just the smart thing to do, really.
We got any other sports this weekend? NASCAR, I guess, right?
When does the Volunteers thing tip off? When does that go?
I think it's later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think it's going to happen, though.
It was worth a shot.
I heard John and Cody talking about it the other day. They said, if anybody gets COVID, you're just eliminated from the tournament. It's single elimination anyway. So,
is it really?
Yeah.
So the Tennessee team was power ranked number 2 in the pre-tournament.
I said that was them doing their own power rankings. Oh. So they made themselves number 2 to not be too, so, I don't know, something.
Yeah.
Well, I could be wrong, though. I don't know.
Humility. It's a good start.
It's not exactly, there's not exactly a great, you know, hub website.
That's
for all of this. But that should be fun.
It'll be something.
Did you hear, driving in this morning, that the NASCAR drivers have already agreed to a pay cut and they're racing their entire schedule?
No.
And the Major League Baseball players are playing a half schedule and I know they're taking a pay cut or they're asking them to take a pay cut of a prorated rate, so maybe that's a little different, but it's just interesting that no one had heard. I hadn't seen that anywhere. I mean, we follow a lot of sports people on Twitter.
True.
You'd think someone would be like, hey, by the way, you know, NASCAR getting started back this quickly, this is kind of how they did it. Oh, they're in Bristol this weekend. I think that's right.
It is.
Sweet. Sunday, 3:30.
Mm.
Food City 500, FS1, Bristol Motor Speedway, where the Tennessee Vols are 1-0.
No.
Undefeated.
It's good.
Just play more games there.
Nah. that was a fun trip.
One and done. One hit wonder.
I wouldn't go back.
Do you think there's 160 other thousand people?
Just
that
not
would go
every
back?
Year. It depends on who the team was.
Mm.
If we played Alabama there, probably be a packed house.
Mm. Just watch the game on the Jumbotron. Still couldn't see that.
It wasn't sight lines weren't great.
Aren't
no, good. They weren't good.
Mm.
No. Not good at all, actually. Yeah, I probably don't ever do it again.
Okay.
I guess the biggest news yesterday, Georgia got another quarterback.
Yeah, how do we feel about that?
Why should we care? We got Jarrett Garantano.
Okay, I know you're in a bad mood, but let's not dunk all over everything. You hate Bristol. You were all over JT
Bristol.
Daniels. You were, oh my God, I want him so bad. And now he's going to Georgia.
I would
now
want
you're
him really bad.
Just have a conversation. Don't just poo poo everything.
I want the record set straight. I like Bristol. I just didn't like watching the battle at Bristol.
I think we all understood exactly what you meant.
Well, you trying to throw my name.
I think
there.
Everyone understood exactly what I meant when I said that.
We're making sure.
JT Daniels, the former 5-star .99 quarterback, according to the 24/7 composite. He's the second best pro style quarterback when he came out in the class of 2018. He committed to the University of Southern California. He's out of Mater Dei High School, Santa Ana, California. 6'3", 210 pounds. Got beat out by, is it Keaton Slovis?
Keaton
Slovis.
Did he get beat out due to injury?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slovis was their third string quarterback going into last year.
They all got hurt. And then they're like, the Slovis guy's better.
As of now, Daniels is not immediately eligible.
Right. Because they've got Jamie Newman, who they expect to win the Heisman Trophy.
Correct. And then JT has 2 years to play whenever he is declared eligible, correct?
I believe
he has
that's
2 years.
The case.
Think so.
Okay.
He's only played one.
All right.
Didn't he play some of a second season? But did he not play enough? Did he get the red shirt? Or was the four? I don't even know if the four-game policy was in place at that point.
That was last year, wasn't it? I think it was.
He didn't. Yeah, he went down pretty early last year. So
last year.
That's what I'm saying.
He played more than four games.
Oh, okay. So maybe he can use that as a redshirt year then. He might have three.
But he'd have to get a waiver, right? Because this year's going to count if he redshirts that year.
Yeah.
Or if he counts that year, this year redshirts. Either way, then he's got two.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's interesting for Georgia. It's not so much – a lot of people are like, what's this do to Jamie Newman? Why is he going to be – is he going to be mad? Yada, yada. He transferred there to be the guy. Jamie Newman's a former 3-star, like .8585, a 649th best player in the country type, 17th best quarterback, the 30th best player in North Carolina. Like, not great bloodlines, but at Wake Forest, he showed he was pretty good. Transferred to Georgia, and Georgia fans thought he was the bee's knees, which was weird. I thought he was pretty good at Wake, but not great. I didn't think he was going to, change the program for Georgia. But a lot of people are focused on what does that do for him. But, I mean, he's just got this year and he's out the door. The question for me is, what does this do with a guy like Brock Vandegrift, who is the next huge stud, class of 2021, that's committed to Georgia? He's already decommitted from Oklahoma to commit to Georgia. He's a Georgia guy, Bogart, Georgia. I mean, he's the second-best dual-threat guy in the whole 2021 class. I mean, he's a JT Daniels-level recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels played in 11 games in 2018, one game in 2019, which was when he tore his ACL against Fresno State. So last year would have been a medical redshirt.
Oh, is he going to pull the double medical redshirt and then redshirt and then play 3 years?
Didn't Brandon Kennedy do that?
Yeah, you can do it.
So it's possible.
I mean, he probably just wants to play two and go to the NFL if he thinks he's that good. I don't know.
This now gives Georgia.
But if he could play 3 years starting next year, that puts him in the same class as Brock Vandegrift.
Mm-hmm.
Same class.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brock's already tweeted, basically, like, when you go to the University of Georgia, expect competition.
Blah, 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 all
stuff you're supposed to say. But this kid hasn't signed yet.
True. The only thing that...
Jeremy Pruitt.
I don't know.
This kid's really good.
Man, I thought we'd had an inside track with JT Daniels.
This is the kid that a source told me, the Vandergriff kid, probably was slightly better than Harrison Bailey at the Rivals camp, but because Harrison Bailey was the class ahead, they just gave him the award. This guy showed out. Like, they were neck and neck.
So,
like, this guy was better than every other 2020 kid.
Newman doesn't scare me. Daniels doesn't scare me. Vandergriff doesn't scare me individually. But collectively, I now can't help but think they're probably going to hit on one
of these guys.
They'll
probably figure one
out. Yeah, that's what I don't like. Mm-hmm. That's the frustrating part. Not that JT Daniels went to Georgia or that Newman or that, like, that individually, I really don't care. But now they got three guys who...
Maybe they can all disappoint. Newman this year, JT the year after.
Just three woeful quarterbacks.
I mean, dude,
they've had a
five-star playing quarterback, I feel like, my whole fandom, except for that one Tereshinsky year or whatever they try to... We got this kid. Yeah. He has worked his arse off. He is going to be...
Tereshinsky.
He's so smart that it doesn't matter that he has a noodle arm.
Behind him is a kid, Matt Stafford, who is just not ready yet. He just doesn't know what he's doing.
This kid's so smart, it won't matter that he cannot play a lick.
I think it was the Tennessee game that year.
He knows the playbook
06.
Like the back of his hand.
Joe T throws two picks. They finally pull Stafford off. He threw a pick late, but you could just tell Stafford. I was like, oh, God. This guy's got a little bit of talent. Little laser rocket arm.
I used to work with a guy, a big Georgia fan back then. He was so mad. Why? Because Georgia, under Mark Richt, would play these guys that clearly were not talented than the guys underneath them, but because they had worked so hard. And that was a big Mark Richt thing. There's a classic clip.
Got to reward those hardworking seniors.
There's a classic.
Everybody does that.
Clip of a punt return where the Georgia guy's running. He's like the last guy that can catch him, and it's like the slow walk on type that has worked so hard. He got to be on special teams, and he dives for the return man. He's literally
10 yards short,
yards away.
But he gets the effort.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the great effort.
Yeah.
The Colton jumper type. You know.
Yeah.
But when it starts to cost you plays,
and then when Derek,
touchdowns, points,
maybe
yikes.
It wasn't Derrick Henry. Maybe it was Bo Scarborough. It was one of those other big Alabama guys. He was running down making tackles on punts, and my buddy came in on Monday, and he was like, did you see the Alabama starting running back making tackles on punts?
Yeah.
That's why Mark Richt can't get over the hump.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you used to be able to get away with that, right? You know, you used to be, or walk-ons and low-level players, we'll put them on special teams. They'll get on the field, and then if they're not good but they try really hard, it'll cost you. But, yeah, so no, Daniels going to Georgia. This is not like a flaming arrow through my heart. But it's like three little arrows that are warm.
Where were we on this? Did we just not
– I don't know.
Not pursue? Was he not interested?
I don't know. A lot of people were saying, oh, well, I saw a lot of Tennessee fans saying, oh, the quarterback room is full. We don't need it. And it's like, well, Georgia's pretty full too.
Yeah.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. I still think Georgia's in a little bit of trouble, though. They lost 10 of 11 offensive starters.
Well, yeah.
Or maybe 9 of 11.
I said something about them having a good offensive line yesterday.
They lost all of them. Maybe the center?
Well, I was saying that more just in general terms. I mean, they're always got talent on offensive line, and people were like, hey, they lost. Not only did they lose 4 out of 5 starters, I think, on the line, but Sam Pittman, of course, left. I mean, Matt Luke rolled in. Pretty damn good replacement.
Matt Luke's good.
Yeah.
But
both starting tackles went in the first round.
They didn't win a championship.
Well, we know what it's like to have an offensive line that takes a little bit of time to gel.
Mm.
So maybe that's what Georgia goes through now for a year.
Okay.
Hopefully into November.
Right. This is going to be the one year where they suck early and they get really good late.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's going to be great.
And everybody's going to be like, if we'd have just played them early.
It always happens that way for us. It always happens that way.
I feel like stuff like that happens for every fan base. It's like whichever way would have worked out better is better.
It's like the one time we play Florida in November, December, we beat them.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we played them there every year, it'd be.
Was it Spurrier that said we like playing Georgia early because they got a bunch of guys suspended?
I think he said that when he was at South Carolina.
Yeah. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to play Georgia first, then Florida. Later. I think we need to just be better on Saturday. Beat them. Beat whoever shows up. That would work.
That's usually a good plan, to just beat whoever you're playing. Better than them on that day. It's a great plan.
Yeah, don't forget they got Stetson Bennett. Didn't he play last year at some point?
Yeah, he was our backup.
I don't remember him playing much, if at all.
He said, I don't know if these are updated. It says he's a junior on here. This is their official roster. I don't see Jamie Newman, so this might be old.
Yep, unupdated. Because he's official.
I feel like Bennett got in some playing time against the Vols, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, you're probably right. If there was a game where he probably got to play, that would be it. Great. Go back and check the stats on that guy. If JT gets cleared.
They have a guy named Juan Mathis on their roster. Never heard of him. He's 6'6", 205, pro style. He was a 4-star. He's a redshirt freshman.
Jeez.
From Oak Park, Maryland. No, sorry. Michigan. Bellevue, Michigan, Oak Park High School.
Oh, he didn't play against the Vols. That's good.
When did he play?
Played against LSU. That's why I remember it. When they were down in the SEC championship.
Yeah, I remember that now.
It says he also registered some, played in 4 games, obviously, so he could keep his red shirt. But Murray State, Arkansas State, Georgia Tech, and LSU.
Georgia's just got 4-star quarterbacks on the bench that you've never heard of.
I mean, their whole team is 4 and 5-star guys for the most part.
He was 20 of 27, 260 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception on the season. But 0-1 against LSU, so when he plays a quality opponent.
I don't think we're going to see Bennett much this year.
No,
so,
I don't think
thanks for
so.
Thanks for the update. But, Bennett's not he's not on my worry list of Georgia quarterbacks.
Yeah, I was just kind of making the point that the guy we were clamoring – the guys we were clamoring for to get a shot last year at Tennessee – are kind of just 3-star guys. Georgia has guys that aren't even considered that are 4-star guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was kind of the difference.
Right.
When Kirby got there and they had won 10 the year before, and when Pruitt got here and we had won 4, there was the talent a little different.
Kind of different.
And the inherited talent was a little different.
Right.
And then because they were better, he came in and was recruiting much better. But Pruitt is slowly, stacking them up. I mean, you got a 5-star quarterback last year. Caden Salter's a 4. He's coming in.
There you go.
You know, as long as he signs and we don't blow this class.
1% better each day.
I'm ready to go.
Ooh,
for him.
Stop.
Mm-mm.
No.
I'm ready to go after Vandegrift. Why not?
Because he's all in on Georgia. He's not scared. It's competition, man. Come on. Love good competition.
Imagine the chip on his shoulder, though, he would have if he really is mad at Georgia right now. Hey, come to Tennessee. Beat their ass.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. Let's go.
Let's do it. We don't have a 20. Wonder what's our 2021 quarterback board look like? You're in the camp. Take a big one every year. Let them fight it out.
Wait, 2020. Caden Salter. I just said it.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking I was thinking Vandegrift was 2022. What's the year after Salter? But no.
Now, you've been dealing with too many high school quarterbacks.
Seriously.
It's true.
Yeah.
They're in the same class. Okay. So we're done. I guess we're good.
Yeah. I think Caden Salter can just flick it 60 yards on the rollout. Got a good arm. He can run around a little bit. He's jukey. Maybe not super fast, but jukey.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Russell Wilson. I think is what Philly called him, right? I would take that. Would you take that? I would take that if he was Russell Wilson good.
Imagine being the
Russell Wilson in college good or Russell Wilson in the NFL good?
NFL Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah. I think NFL Russell.
Like Colin Kaepernick
Kirk
Cousins. He's Wisconsin Russell Wilson.
Yeah, would you take Wisconsin?
Yeah.
I would take Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Russell Wilson was great.
Not NC State Russell Wilson.
I feel like the only game I watched him play for NC State, he lit it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a good quarterback. More talent around him at Wisconsin. Probably an offense that fit the scheme a little bit.
Caden Salter's comp on 24/7 Sports is Jordan Love.
Oh, I take that too.
They project him as a 2 to 3 round selection in the NFL draft.
Okay.
You think Jordan Love's going to be good?
He'll get a chance. It's a first round pick.
Ashton tweets in and says he's heard Salter compared to Mahomes. I take that. I would take
Brock Vandergrift compared to Bo Nix.
That's not a very good comparison.
Same rounds as Salter. All right, never mind.
Mahomes?
Georgia, you can have this big redheaded kid. Goofy Mo.
Maybe that's why they wanted Salter so bad. Maybe he's got just a gun. I mean, I haven't seen him really unleash one. Like I said, that 60-yarder was just a kind of a bloop. Like there's nothing to it.
Faster than a 4.85?
Who?
Salter.
I thought so, but...
Maybe. That's 2018 time. Okay.
Heavy shoes. Probably hadn't stretched yet.
Right, didn't even practice for it or anything.
JT Daniels. I don't know why. I guess in my head I'm thinking, oh, yeah, Tennessee's getting all these recruits. Georgia's going to start sliding. Florida's going to start sliding. And then they get this transfer. Mm-hmm. It just kind of stings a little bit. But we all knew this. The battle to win the East, to win the SEC, it's never going to be easy. You just got to deal with it. You got to make your guys better than their guys. That's our focus.
Mm-hmm.
Can't worry about the small stuff.
Well, Georgia's going to have a good player there anyway. We used to say that about Farragut. Basketball.
What's that?
Well, their freshman boys team would kill Bearden's. Their JV boys team would kill Bearden's. But when it came to, the big game, I mean, he only put 5 on the floor at a time. And most years, Bearden's top 5 to 10 players were better than Farragut's.
I only played freshman basketball, so I only know winning.
See, another reason. They got a bunch of quitters over there. Will could have been a star.
More like kids who were like 5'4 freshman year and only like 90-something pounds and then hit their growth spurt.
He said that's when he balled. Yeah.
Yeah. You probably didn't need to be processed.
When he was bigger than everybody.
Yeah. I wish we'd used that term when I was coaching high school. Hey, son, we're going to have to process you after your freshman year.
Are there bench restrictions?
I mean, they can't take every single kid who shows up to tryouts because a lot of kids.
Could you not say you're going to be on the team, but you're not going to dress for every game?
You don't understand. See, you went through Bearden when Mark Blevins was the coach.
Right.
You just knew you were either had a shot or didn't. And if you didn't.
We were way too good for me. I mean.
Exactly. You're a good basketball player, but you went to Bearden, so you didn't get
5'11. That's my problem. No, didn't work.
You'd have been at Heritage. You'd have been the starting 2 guard as a sophomore.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
I'm not
averaging
even kidding.
Like 30 points too.
Yeah, bombing.
Lenore City. You might have played the 4. I don't know.
Yeah,
but we had some hype
up in Rutledge. I'd be a Rutledge legend, but I went to Bearden.
Yeah,
where we went to state and had like 4 guys over 6'5". On my freshman year, I was like, I'm just done here. Just no good.
Yeah, they kept within single digits the last 2 minutes with Oak Hill Academy. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't
pretty good.
Yeah. And Blevins would just kind of, run you off. Like, he just kind of, let you know. Yeah, he just kind of let you know.
Yeah.
But see, at Farragut, they had nicer coaches. And they would let them hang around longer. And so the JV team would be loaded.
No, I'm a good locker room dude. That's why they kept me around. And I play defense. No, I'm a good passer. Well.
So,
We didn't have any get shirts.
They're kind of like Georgia. They got, it doesn't matter if you have a 4-star redshirt freshman quarterback that never sees the field.
Mm.
It's only going to matter the Tennessee guy that's on the field and the Georgia guy that's on the field.
Yep.
Like, the depth can only be so valuable. You know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's better to have it than not.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, in high school basketball, like the 10th guy in the program versus the other 10th guy in the program.
That doesn't matter.
Really doesn't matter. You know, unless it's the freshman coming to play, be the 4th guy next year. But you know what
I mean. Right. I mean, of the last year, we did play 3 quarterbacks.
Well, we did.
Probably would have played 4 if we'd have had one.
Gosh.
I'm just saying.
That's because we didn't have.
Actually, we kind of did play 4 if you want to count Juwan Jennings out of the Wildcats.
When was the last time we didn't play 3 quarterbacks?
But that's because we didn't have one. Like, yeah, you can say JG's going to be the starter again this year, and you can say he was the starter to start the year last year, but you really didn't have, you know, you didn't have a guy that you just knew you were going to put out there no matter what. Mm-hmm.
Didn't JG start every game the year before?
No, Chris came in, I think, for one. And then
Missouri, when JG got hurt.
But then you had somebody else that I thought got some snaps at one point.
I thought it was only two that year. I could be wrong.
I think you might be thinking about the Butch Jones year. We had that LSU game.
Will McBride.
And, yeah, he played. And
yeah, Dormady, that was Dormady, Garantano, JG. McBride.
Oh. I guess PTSD, I know for a man. Fact, going back to Josh Dobbs, that was his senior year. He didn't play three.
Yeah, Peterman got run off.
He got drafted.
That's just
because of Jim Chaney.
That's true. There you go.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. David says, it's Vandegraaff kid, number two ranked dual threat quarterback in the class, just like JG. What could go wrong? Yeah. How did they rate him as a dual? Anyway. JG was a .96, though. That's a four-star, a little different.
Do you think the people that dropped...
Technically the number one dual threat. Be honest.
Dylan Brooks, all those spots were the same people that graded out Jarrett Garantano.
Probably. Probably were. Let's go to the phone lines. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump on. We got Matt up first. What's up, Matt?
You think they somebody came in and scratched off two zeros past that second rank dual threat quarterback ranking for Garantano?
Oops. Oh man! Oh,
they misread the scout's handwriting. Like, there's some intern that like,
he accidentally hit dash dash.
Well, he gets a big,
meaning to type 200. They're like, oh, two.
He gets a big notebook, like a big spiral bound, where like one of these guys has chicken scratched all over it, where he's been out watching all the high school guys, and he's like, is that a one? It looks like a one. Okay, one. Like it's maybe spilled his coffee on it or something. It's all smudged.
Who knows, man. With that cat. I'll tell you what's funny is I was thinking about this a second ago. I think it was Sunday. It might have been Saturday with a buddy of mine. He's been working out, lifting weights, right, puts on like 20 pounds of muscle and thinks it's going to improve his golf game. Get out there, he's shanking them left, shanking them right, not hitting the ball any further. He's like, man, I figured this would, you know, just improve my game, you know, like he's Brooks Koepka or something. At the end of the match, we're arguing about Tennessee football and quarterbacks. You guys know I can't stand Garantano. And he's like, this was his statement, which I think is really ironic. Yeah, but Garantano put on 20 pounds of muscle.
Chunga, 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 chunga.
I mean, come on, dude.
Matt, I came from a fantasy football background, and we used to laugh every offseason. There's always one running back that says he's put on a bunch of weight, and everybody gets excited that he's going to be able to like handle the pounding now. And usually... either he gets hurt anyway because he added so much weight and he doesn't know how to carry it and play with it, or he's slow as damn Christmas once he starts trying to run. And you're like, dude, what were you thinking? You were already pretty good.
I know, man. It's like nothing. It's like putting a square peg in a round hole. Like, he was a dual threat quarterback, but let's slap 20 more pounds on the guy. You know, I don't know, man.
Well, maybe they've decided now they know he's not dual threat. Might as well get bigger.
Maybe
and take the beating, right? Like, I mean, you know. Hey, you hold the ball too long and you can't run away from anyone. Let's put a bunch more muscle on you so when you get jacked in the back by Georgia State.
No, now he's going to run through them. Oh, God. Yeah. Because he's not very jukey, so now he just lowered the shoulder.
You remember when it was like 3rd and 6, Matt, and he took off up the middle through like the parting of the Red Sea, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he's going to get this first down. And he slides like 4 yards downfield.
Yeah, I remember when it was 4th and inches at a goal line. I remember all kinds of stuff, brother.
You know, if he'd had 30 pounds there... he might have just barreled through.
Might have made it in. I was thinking, guys, we need to go back in time and seriously give Justin Worley another shot. He got royally screwed with Butch Jones era. I think he could have been a really good quarterback if they didn't. What was it, his first year they tried operating that horrible offense with a pocket passer that just it was just totally not right, and he got destroyed.
Well, yeah. Dooley screwed him too, because Dooley was Worley's 1 year where they had him come in for like one play and just burnt the red shirt, and that was it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So he was. I just still, if you saw his, like, when he had hurt his arm, I saw him down at UT Hospital. It might have been after surgery or before surgery. That was a big guy. I mean, he was like, what, 6'4", probably 220? I mean, he was a big cat. But he also...
Worley was big.
He seemed like a pocket passer. Like, he would have been a good... But, you know, he was a pocket passer, and they were trying to put him in that zone.
No, yeah. Butch Jones... Yeah, he was the best quarterback on the roster when Butch got here, and Butch was not going to not run his offense, and so we ran the zone read. Which was pointless, because if he kept it, he got 4 yards, and it was bad.
Well, I know. Worley was the National Gatorade Player of the Year in South Carolina. He's a pocket passer, and Steve Spurrier didn't offer him, and that's when I was like, "Yep, Tennessee, screwing this up."
Yeah,
should not have taken him.
You know, South Carolina guys, I can't stand South Carolina. We're going to put them back where they belong. But you look past over the last two decades, South Carolina's had like Hall of Fame coaching. You know, they had Lou Holtz, Steve Spurrier. Who else have they had? They got
Will Muschamp.
Muschamp's not a bad coach, but I mean, you got to give South Carolina credit, man. They're at least trying.
No, they get the, I don't want to call it the retirement tour, but they get like basically legendary coaches who kind of want that. Like, if Muschamp hadn't been at South Carolina, they would have got Mack Brown. Like, I know they would have. Like, they would have gotten Mack Brown. It would have happened, and it would have just been keep the train rolling.
Yeah. I'll get out of here, but do you guys think maybe Daniels or some of these quarterbacks aren't coming here just based on our development? I mean, looking back over the years, minus Dobbs, I mean, we just haven't had no quarterback play at all.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one season with Chaney, right? You played three quarterbacks. Guys were getting hurt. You didn't have any continuity. I mean, you got Harrison Bailey, you got Salter, so I think that, you know, there's still something to sell, but yeah, you got guys with a short window right now, like JT Daniels, Jamie Newman, they're probably going to want to go somewhere where, you know, they've seen it before, but it's weird, though, because everything that Georgia had was probably because of Chaney, at least in a big way, and we have him now. Their offense was trash last year. They did bring in Munkin.
Has got to be trash. On paper, we've got to, I would think, you know, I know we're minus a couple of receivers, but we got to have one of the best offenses in the SEC on paper. Not saying it's going to translate, but you got the best offensive line, I think, in the SEC, if not in the country. Good Lord, you got four or five five-star offensive linemen.
On paper, yeah.
We got to get Cade cleared, though, right?
Yeah. Four or five stars and a four on the offensive line. I mean,
God, you ought to be able to get 5 yards of carry there. Run some play action, get a serviceable quarterback. You know, I don't know, but we'll see what happens. Hey, happy Friday, guys.
Thanks, Same Matt. To you, Matt. Happy weekend.
Yeah, I don't know about – I mean, I think the line does stack up with anybody in the country. I just don't know. I think Eric Gray is as good as any complimentary back that another team would have, but we don't have the stud that a lot of teams have, at least the top-end teams. At running back, we have kind of a stable of guys that can kind of, you know, all give you good yards, and maybe if your offensive line's that good, it's not as important. Maybe that's good enough. And then at receiver, that's a question mark, I think, right? And we don't have a dynamic tight end. I mean, we can be solid there, but we don't have a guy that's going to like be a mismatch.
Proven.
So, it all goes back to quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can Butch Jones this as much as you want, and Jeremy Pruitt kind of did so constantly when JG would just screw up and say, like, well, it depends on the other guys around him got to make their plays too. But it's much easier to have a quarterback that covers up other people's mistakes than have other people cover up quarterback mistakes. Like that, the latter does not really happen. You can't be like, yeah, our quarterback didn't play very well today, but the other 10 guys really carried him through and we won big.
Mm.
Like, that ain't going to happen.
I don't know. It kind of happened last year a lot.
We didn't beat anybody good last year, though.
Well, I'm just saying.
It depends on what pond you're talking about. If you're talking about Indiana, that's South Carolina, Mississippi State pond.
I'm with you.
Yes.
I'm with you.
You start I'm just saying about a lot Florida, of those Georgia, games. Alabama.
Well, that's kind of the pond we were in.
We were last year, but we can't be in that pond again this year.
No, I agree. I mean, you played, three quarterbacks, including Jennings, against South Carolina. None of them had a great night, but you did blast South Carolina because you
because they're
scored
not
on
good,
special
yeah.
teams twice and they weren't very good. I'm hopeful for Eric Gray. I'm with you. I don't know that he can be like the superstar. You know, he's not Jamal Lewis, right? He's not Travis Henry.
No, yeah. I mean, but I think he could be a really good 1-2 punch. I mean, like if he was at Alabama with Bo Scarborough, I mean, with those holes, it'd be everybody be raving like, oh man, thunder and lightning. You know, whatever. He might not be super fast, but check out this guy's quickness and the holes he'd be running through.
He's 5'10", 200. At least that's what he's listed at on UT Sports. If he picks up just a little, I mean, he's got great cutting ability, like elite cuts.
He's slippery too, like can't tackle him.
But again, I think he can be good.
Those were against. We saw that against the other teams
absolutely.
Too.
But so. He was also a freshman running back, so it makes sense that you know for pass protection purposes, you're going to play him more when you don't need it as much.
What brought up that. When the Georgia State guy just knocked him down with one hand,
That's what I'm saying. That's why not ready for it.
And we benched Ty Chandler because he
fumbled. Well,
he didn't catch a pass.
Got a bad swing pass.
Backwards.
Ty Chandler and Eric Gray could be a good 1-2, and then you got Tim Jordan bringing the thump. I think it's got to be running back by committee.
Yeah, it will be.
But I think Ty Chandler can be better. He's shown flashes of being really, really good. In my opinion, because he's fast.
Outside of George Pickens, who ran hot and cold last year for Georgia, isn't this receiving class better than what Georgia had last year? I mean, Georgia had nothing when he got hurt. Remember, that's what everybody said.
Oh, you're saying was. Our receivers right now, top to bottom, better than what Georgia had last year?
Yeah, when Pickens got hurt.
Yeah, once Pickens was down.
I mean, they just didn't have anybody. In fact, Fromm hit that one. They lost to South Carolina in large part because Fromm hit that guy right in the hands, and he popped it up in the air for an interception.
Yeah. Ashton says Gray is definitely JoJo Smalls. Is Chandler Burgerton or is Burgerton Tim Jordan?
I don't know that we have a Rico Burgerton.
I think Burgerton is a combination of Tim Jordan and Ty Chandler into one person.
That's fair. I like that.
Burgerton.
Just a roster size is a little different in the game, so you got to kind of merge players.
Well, you just can't get everybody the touches that they deserve, and so
that's fair. I buy that. I'm not ready to say Gray's going to have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. I do think he has a chance to be pretty good. I mean, in the history of the SEC, I don't remember too many running backs that weren't at least pretty damn good going for 220-something against an SEC opponent, even if it is Vanderbilt. Like, you have to be pretty good to do that.
I mean, I think he's the best running back on the roster.
Oh no, yeah. I'm just saying. I think he's pretty good. Like in the SEC, I think he's pretty good, and I think there's also a chance he gets a lot better. He box jumped 66 inches the other day. Did you see that? Did you see the video?
No, I didn't.
It was actually really impressive. But if he got a little bit stronger, a little faster, yeah, I think he could be really good.
When's the last time we had a big time running back?
If we'd have used him right, yeah.
Kamara and Hurd, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Hurd counts. That's what I mean. Like, getting a guy that, like, you're really excited when you get him. He shows up. He fits the bill.
He played as
I mean,
a freshman.
Yeah,
if he doesn't leave, he breaks the record.
He was a monster. Yeah. Hurd was a monster. He was a bit of a diva, but
stay healthy.
I will still argue if you had a different coach.
Agree.
Hurd would have been... Probably a legend.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. I mean, he quit in the middle of a game.
I mean, Scottie Pippen did.
Yeah.
But then
didn't come back.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, Pippen at least came back, won another championship or two, but, yeah, Hurd.
I think I'll argue to my deathbed that it wasn't the players. Like, if you had a different coach bringing in the exact same players that Butch Jones had, you'd have been back.
Oh, I agree. I mean,
that team would have been playing Alabama, maybe losing to Alabama in the SEC championship game. But okay, like
I mean, those players Alabama in 2015 were... lost at Alabama by 5. It was 19-14 or 19-15 or something. Like they were right there. Those players beat Georgia in 2015. They beat Florida and Georgia in 2016.
You had a playoff team beat at home in your biggest non-conference game and just choked it away.
You went to A&M and fumbled, what, 6 times and still lost in overtime. Like, yeah, they had the talent. It was just Bad leadership.
Bad everything, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, Cody Brown is the top running back that I'm looking at on our list that's committed right now. I mean, he's a four-star.
Yeah.
Top 10 guy in the country. 6 foot, 227, big kid.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Basically Davey.
Yeah, basically Davey. Yeah. So, it's good news. And who's the – it's not separated here. Which one's the JUCO back?
Tyon Evans.
Yeah.
Who,
there he is.
His,
okay. He's 5'9", 225, so, I mean, he's a little bowling ball.
Yeah. And you have you watched his film?
Mm-mm.
You should do that. You'll enjoy that. Yeah. It's fun.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll come back. Final segment, hour one, Friday edition, getting you set for the weekend right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number one. Looking at Tennessee's recruiting class right now coming in. It's pretty good. It'd be nice if we can, if you could finish it off with some big fish, you know, either in December, right at the signing day, or even in February.
Yeah, in bass fishing, we call this, you got a good limit, got to go get some kickers.
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 Is that... I feel like I'm drawing a blank, but isn't that what you call putting an extra shot on top of a mixed drink? Or am I thinking of a different term? A kicker?
I never heard that one.
Well, what's the other word then?
A double?
No.
What? Give me the definition of what you're explaining. So, like a mixed drink.
Let's say you're at the all-inclusive on the beach in Jamaica, and you walk and you're like, your significant other's like, grab me a strawberry daiquiri. So you're like, give me two strawberry daiquiris. But you want extra alcohol, so you're like, and on mine, add a floater. Is it a floater? It's a floater, isn't it?
Never heard any of that.
No?
I just always say, make it a double.
Well, that's... Usually you say a double when it's like, you know, a rum and coke or just like bourbon, neat, or...
Mm-hmm.
But usually if it's like a fruity, frozen mixed thing or whatever, and you're just adding an extra shot on top.
Maybe somebody will tweet that in.
I'm sure they will.
Because I've never heard of it.
Yeah, floater. Floating is a bartending technique where a liquor or ingredient is layered at the top of a drink. I'm not sure if it's kicker. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
So we need some kickers in this.
Yeah, but back to bass fishing, where I'm familiar with the terminology.
Right.
Yeah, kickers. Like, this is a good bag. We got a good bag right now. That's what you call your five fish because you weigh them in a bag.
We got a
good bag. Yeah. We got to now make it a great bag. We got to secure the bag. You got to get
secure the bag, huh? That's a fishing thing now.
No, that's back to football and really just pop culture in general. But yeah, it's like, all right, man, we're doing good, but if we can get a couple of those 3-pounders and turn them into 5-pounders, talking about cracking, you know, 20, 25 pounds, that's a great day. 5 stars, 5 pounds.
Okay.
You know, that's the way I, you know.
Yeah. So you
if you got 5 5-pounders.
So you look at these actual human beings and compare them to fish.
That's what I'm just making the comparison because you made the comparison.
Okay. So apparently a floater is in general, but Texas Roadhouse calls them, they've trademarked the term kicker for their margaritas, apparently. I don't know.
Thank you for the deep dive on the topic.
No problem.
Yeah. Mm.
Davey's got something for us.
Yeah, I do. If you're looking at Barrett Salee, he has put out his predictions for 2020 in the SEC.
Yeah.
And I was kind of curious, when you're looking at this, would you take it right now or let the season play out? And I'll give you the Vols record. He has the Vols going 9-3, 6-2 in conference.
Take it. Sign me up. That means you beat one of Florida, Georgia, Bama.
Yeah. Because he's got a loss, Oklahoma loss. 9-3, 6-2 in conference. Yeah, you have to take it. You have to.
He has Florida winning the East at 11-1, which I can easily see that.
So we're beating Georgia? We're beating Georgia.
Oh, that feels so good.
Georgia at 10-2, so Tennessee at 9-3, finishing third in the East.
Oh, can you imagine?
Actually, you'd be tied in second in the conference.
Wait, you'd be finished second because you would have beat them, right?
I mean,
we didn't beat Alabama.
One loss could be the Florida one. We don't necessarily know. I mean, he could have Florida losing to Tennessee and winning all the other
games. If he's got all the records, you can figure it out, though, right?
It'd take me a while.
Actually, not necessarily, because you wouldn't know. He has Georgia and Tennessee both going 6-2, but with Florida's one loss, you don't know. You wouldn't know who of Georgia beat them, of Georgia or Tennessee.
But so you're thinking Georgia lost to Alabama?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Bama's undefeated.
What's Auburn's record?
10-2.
Two losses in conference. Mm-hmm. So one of those is Alabama because they're undefeated.
Right.
So did.
So yeah, like Florida's loss could be to LSU, who went 9-3, 5-3 in conference. You don't know. Could be to Auburn.
Hypothetically, we could have beat both Florida and Georgia, and then just lost to Kentucky and Vanderbilt at the end of the season, and let Florida take first place.
Butch Jones.
Golly.
Thanks, Will.
Sorry.
Thanks, Will. But yes, I would take 9-3 right now.
Yeah, I have to take 9-3. Now I wouldn't. Now
at 9-3, you could have beat Oklahoma and lost to like Furman.
But he said six. Oh yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, there it is. See, Furman's not in the SEC, so they could be the yeah. one. Yeah.
Charlotte.
Yeah, man. Like, if you tell me right now you're going to win 9 games and you're going to beat one of Bama, Georgia, Florida, take it. Take it. Take it. Hmm. Boy, that would feel... That'd be. I mean, if you tied Georgia in the conference record, it just feels like you're getting better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm saying, like, even projecting beyond, like, if you do that next year, I don't think there's going to be a huge step down after 2020 to 21. Like, you still got depth on the offensive line. You'll have a lot of established receivers at that point. Defense is going to continue to get better. You're going to lose some offensive linemen, obviously, but you're going to be replacing them with guys who have been in the system, getting bigger, stronger. Yeah, I'd take 9-3. Go win a bowl game, go 10-3. Are you kidding me?
I haven't said it yet, but I would also take it.
I mean, the only – and we're assuming that you can, like, you take it and then your memory gets wiped, right? And then you don't – you still are sweating out that you might go 6-6, right, in these scenarios where you take the record. Like, that's the only way to play this game. Like, if you say I take it and I know the results of the season, like, I wouldn't want that. Like, what's the point of being a fan if you know the future?
Bets.
Well, they're it's just money line every game, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess that would work too, but that's a whole separate conversation.
Mm-hmm. Troy says, "May I suggest a jock strap? I think he means cup."
Mm-hmm.
Troy's not a believer. Does not believe.
I think Troy and I think we're agreeing here, though. Like, Troy would take it.
A texter writes in, is Nate high?
For what? What's asking, that based on?
Asking if you take the 9-3 or sweat it out, and what's the point of being a fan if you, I mean.
No, I'm do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the unknown that makes it fun.
Yeah, like I want to take the 9-3, but then I want to have my memory wiped that I took it. So that I know that there's a possibility of 6-6 when we go 9-3, I can be excited about it.
Fair.
What's wrong with that?